There may be more than one right answer to that, but what's the rest of that phrase that is common in our society? That could be one. That's not the one that I'm looking for. It's along that same line, though. That's going to leave a mark. Usually that statement is made about the same time that Chip made his. That's going to hurt. I'd like to rearrange a few words here. The only question is, what kind of mark will you leave? I ran into Keith and Connie a few weeks ago at Culver's, and I had been over to see Desi on the Wednesday night after church the week before, and I was telling them that on the way up to the sidewalk, I was telling myself, don't say anything stupid. And I got in there and walked up to Desi, and my automatic phrase kicked in. Hi, Desi, how you doing? And for somebody that's in hospice care, that's not a real good way to start your conversation. And Desi just stared back at me and said, don't ask. And so sometimes we mess opportunities up, not intentionally, but we do. And sometimes in life we leave a mark we don't really want to leave. And other times we have opportunity to make an impression on others that may be beneficial to them the rest of their lives. The last chapter of the Gospel according to Desi and the Gospel according to Vern and the Gospel according to Larry George were all completed on the 19th of December, just in different years. And they all left their mark. The way you choose to live your life is the Gospel according to you. And we read stories as we pick up our Bibles of those who lived in the Bible times. And how many of those people do you think knew that there would be stories written about them? And that their lives would be told to people that they never knew, that wouldn't come for hundreds of years till after they had lived their own lives. And details of their lives that they would have liked to have kept private, the Lord revealed to the world. And so they left a mark. Some of those marks were good. Some of them were bad. For the whole world to see, and the Lord put it on display. Now what if the Lord had chosen you, but he just hasn't told you yet, that he's going to reveal the mark you leave for the rest of the world to either set you up as one that done the Lord's will, or an example of one that done their own will? We have those stories of those characters in the Bible that when you mention one name, you think of that mark, whether it was a good or a bad thing about that person that stands out about them, what they'd done in their life. I don't believe that most of the people that are in the Bible had any clue that their successes and the worst of all, their blunders and lusts, would be revealed as they are. And so the Lord put them on display of those that pleased Him and those that did not. The way we choose to live, the choices that we make, they're going to leave a mark. We have examples of the good kings and the bad kings and how they influenced a lot of people because of the direction they chose to go. And we are all writing our own testimonial, whether it be good or bad, whether it be up or down, we're leaving our mark. And however you want to say it, whichever side of the border you're from, we all, you all, will leave a mark. Some of us will leave a mark that becomes a stumbling block to our children. It'll be a stumbling block to our kids, our grandkids. It could be a stumbling block to our brothers and sisters, our nieces and nephews, because we, in a weak moment, choose to do our own will, and the Lord reveals that mistake, and we're embarrassed by it. Because we caused somebody else to lose interest in serving because they didn't feel like we'd done a good job ourselves. Today I want to go back and review some of the stories of David and review some of his choices that the Lord put on display for everybody to see. David had a lot of things that happened in his life that were real tests. He had things happen that weren't fair. Have you ever had anything that wasn't fair? He had people, when he tried to do good to them, tried to kill him. Things that he tried to do right weren't appreciated. But on the other hand, David done some things that weren't right. So we, as we read the story of David in the Old Testament, we see things that he done right and pleased the Lord. And when you turn to the next chapter, you may find something that he really messed up. And it is not only a revealing of David's mistakes. None of us like to have people see our mistakes. But we see within David's heart the lust that he had. And the Lord put that into print that everybody in all time would be able to read about how David failed. Think about yourself and the weaknesses that you've got, the things that you try to keep private, to whatever sin might be a problem for you and how hard it is for you to control it and to keep it quiet, to keep it under wraps, that it not be exposed to people that you would be embarrassed by. And think about it, that it got put out all for the world to see anymore. Somebody finds out about something that gets on the internet and everybody knows. So if you're famous, it's not wise to have secrets. And if you're not famous, it's not wise either. If you knew the Lord would tell the world and those yet to come that are going to live after us, that He's going to make a book about the things that you did right in your life and the things that you did wrong, would it be an incentive to make you think twice before you make the decisions you're going to make later on today, or later on tonight when you're by yourself, or tomorrow when you go back to work? If you knew it was all going to be put on display, would it make a change in your behavior? Would it make a change in your mark? When I mention the name of David from the Bible, do you suppose that he is a little sad when the first thing that a big percentage of people think of when they think of David is that he lusted after Bathsheba and had an affair with her. That's the first thing that pops to mind. How would you feel if that kind of event was the first thing when your name was mentioned that made people think of? It would make you forget about everything you've done right in life, wouldn't it? Because of that one thing that is such an embarrassment. Is that what you want to be remembered for? Is that what you want your mark to be? I'd like for you, if you have a Bible close, to turn to 2 Samuel with me to chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. This is one of my favorite stories. The stories that may be our favorites may not be because we're happy with the things that happen, but we're impressed by how things are presented to make people's eyes be opened. So if you follow with me in 1 Samuel chapter 12, we're going to go through the first 14 verses. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save this one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and laid in his bosom and was unto him a daughter, as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. It's you. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from you, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before your eyes and give them unto your neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For what you did in secret, I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed that thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. That's one big mark. And what a lesson. Oftentimes the only way that we can actually see something we need to change is for somebody to present a parallel as Nathan did to David and show him and let his emotions get into this story, how angry David became about this man having no pity upon this person that was not blessed with as many physical things as the rich man was. And then David had his eyes open to the fact, this is you. This is you. And the one wonderful thing to come out of this story is that David accepted the lesson. He was willing to accept correction. And this very thing is why the Lord spoke to David as being, even though he made these kind of mistakes in his life, he is a man after my own heart. Because when he is shown a mistake, he repents of it. How many of us out here are without mistakes? We all fall in that category of David. All of us need to have somebody at some point in our life be strong enough to show us the mistake is with you. Because we all have those moments. Hopefully we don't have the same thing that David was guilty of. And that his lust went so far as it generated into another sin of having a life taken. But this story is put in the Bible on full display for a reason. As awful as these things are that David done, verse 13 says, Nathan told David, the Lord has put away thy sin because of your heart, because you repented of it. And so whatever state you find yourself in today, you have that story of David. And you see the mark that he made and how big and ugly it was. And the Lord was able to take that eraser just like I did a minute ago and erase that first word. The Lord can erase it off of his memory of what you've done if you are willing to have the heart that David had. We would have to say that David is famous, wouldn't we? He's probably, of the Old Testament, he's one of them, if not the most famous. Abraham, his ancestor also, but the Jews often refer to themselves as either the children of Abraham or the children of the son of David. You ever wanted to be famous? Have you ever wanted your 15 minutes of fame? Have you ever wanted to meet someone famous and get their autograph? You know, oftentimes as you get older, the things that you think are neat when you're young really don't mean that much to you when you get older. I used to think when I was young it would really be neat to be on TV. And as I got older, I thought, why? Fame is nothing to God but vanity and pride of man on display. Have you ever got to meet someone famous? It oftentimes changes them from what they were as a child. They think of themselves as being on a different level. And I don't mean to say they all do. But this is a tendency of mankind when this happens, when you get famous. And the thing that keeps popping back in my mind is no matter how famous you are, you're going to have to give account of your life just like I do. Whether nobody ever knows me, you will still have to stand before God. No matter how many times you've been on TV, it won't have any impression on God. This past year, I happened to be on the west side, and I crossed paths with Matinka Slater. And I didn't say anything. But I told Rodney when I got back to the truck, told him I'd seen her in the store there, and I said, have you ever thought about what that would be like if you're on TV and everybody knows you, how hard it would be to go out in public to do anything? And this was at a grocery store. You couldn't even go to the grocery store without somebody wanting to stop and interrupt your day. And so fame has a price, as we often see. I'd like to go back to my childhood and tell you about two men that were famous when I was a child. And anybody that follows sports will recognize this first name, even if maybe you are young, you may have heard this man's name. Those of you of the older generation probably all know the name of Mickey Mantle. He was one of the most famous baseball players that New York Yankee. He was my brother's idol as far as baseball players go growing up. And I remember it was probably in the early to mid-60s, there was a big article in the paper that Mickey Mantle had just signed a contract that was going to pay him $150,000 a year. And that was the richest contract that any professional athlete had ever signed. One of the men that has followed Mickey Mantle now gets paid more than that for one game. So what is so impressive at the time it happens is oftentimes made small in our eyes later on. But Mickey Mantle, I did not know this about him when I was growing up. I found out later that he was quite a party man. And that there were nights after a game that he didn't even go to bed. Stayed up all night drinking and partying. And although he was the richest athlete in the world at that particular year, he ended in his last few years by working as a celebrity in a casino in Las Vegas, basically in the capacity of a greeter at Walmart. He had plundered all of his riches, and in his later years he was quoted saying, "Had I known I was going to live so long, I would have taken better care of myself." And here he was, the richest athlete in the United States, and ended up not being able to hold on to any of it. And the other famous man of my childhood had his own TV show. It was probably the number one show for quite a while. I don't know for sure. His name was Dean Martin. He was a movie star, TV star, and he was surrounded by stars. Every week he'd have all the Hollywood stars on his show. He was surrounded by beautiful women. And you couldn't go through one of his shows without seeing him with his cigarettes and alcohol. And he presented an image to people, eat, drink, and be merry today, and then do it again tomorrow. And Dean Martin died in poverty. They found him. There was an article in the paper before his death that they had been found on the street somewhere. And his family had basically lost contact with him. And so the fame of his life and the fame of Mickey Mantle's life and the marks they left behind mean nothing to God. They only impressed man for a short time. They were like the flower of the grass that is here for a time and then withereth away, as the Bible predicted to us centuries before we got here, that is all things of the world will ever be able to provide for us. Some men of the world will say, if you want to get something done, find somebody famous to use their clout to get it done. But there is an older saying that men have that says, if there's something that you've got to get done, find somebody that's already busy and he'll find a way to do it. 2010 has come to an end. And it's a good time in our life to step back and analyze and see if there's something to learn from it. Maybe look in the rearview mirror and see what the marks are that we've left. Take out the opportunity to close out the old man in your life, as the Bible refers to him, the old habits that we had before we accepted Christ into our life. and perhaps try to make some new marks that we would be more happy to people, for people to read about after we're gone. The choices that you make today and later on this week will leave a mark on somebody. They'll leave an impression. And I know that the choices I've made in the past and maybe the words that I've chosen to use may have been misinterpreted, or maybe I just didn't think very well when I said them. And if I've left a bad mark in your mind of what I am, I'm sorry. I'd like to start off this year with a new slate. I'd like for you to examine yourself in that same way. David's life put on display indicates to us that whatever your mistakes are in the past, all you have to do is ask the Lord to forget them, that you're sorry, and He will forget them. So we should do the same with each other. If somebody has left a bad mark in your mind, be willing to forgive. And always be mindful as you get up each day, what kind of mark will I leave? I had the opportunity to work with Larry George for 4 years. I got to know him pretty well. At the time that I worked with Larry, he had, just like all of us, times that really frustrated him. But there was always days, Larry always tried to bring a little bit of light to each day, no matter what the problems were of the day. And for those of you that don't know, Larry was in charge of a machine shop, and I was in charge of the weld shop. And so when Larry would have a customer walk in, he had a lot of different sayings that he would use. But one of them was, when they were asking about the job that we would do, and Larry said, well, our work comes with a three-way guarantee. He says, we guarantee you that this job you brought in to us, when we're done with it, it'll either be better than it was, worse than it was, or the same as it was. And that was his way to lighten up the day. But the thing that I will never forget is how, in the last few years, that Larry got rid of those stresses that affected him earlier in his life and let life happen a little bit easier and come to him. And I will never forget, as he got up here to make a prayer, one of the phrases he rarely left out was, we are thankful, dear Lord, that things are as well with us as they are. Larry left a mark on me. When we read about the story of David, and he was confronted with Goliath, challenging the Israelites. In 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, he was frustrated because all the Israelites were scared. And he says, why are you scared? In verse 43 through 47, he ends with the phrase, this battle belongs to the Lord. It's true, you can't win it. And so they had a right to be afraid if they thought they was going to win the battle on their own. But David didn't fear Goliath because he knew that he wasn't big enough to beat Goliath. But he didn't take credit from the beginning that it was going to be him that would defeat Goliath. He said, this battle belongs to the Lord. And whatever challenge you face coming up this week, you may not be able to handle it. You may have to ask this battle to be turned over to the Lord. And this is why David's life was put on display, that we could see the good, the bad, and the ugly, that we could learn how he made it through all those things. we have a chance to start a new year. And I must say that one of my goals this year is to spend more time studying something of value instead of something so empty that has occupied so much of my time in the past. So whatever you spend your time reading is what makes up your thoughts. And when all your time is consumed by work, that's all your thoughts. When all your time is consumed by sports, that's what you tend to dream, that's what you tend to think about. I need to make a change. I need to refocus a little bit, that my mark might be a little better mark, that I'd be happier to have people read about when I'm gone. One of the things that continually impressed me about David in the time that he was trying to flee from Saul, when he had tried to treat Saul right in every encounter he had, and Saul returned that by trying to kill him. Two times David had perfect opportunity to slay Saul, when Saul went to sleep in the cave, and when the Lord allowed a deep sleep to go upon Saul and his men. And one time David cut the hem off his garment to prove that he had the chance to take his life, and the other time he took his spear and his bottle of water, cruse of water, and then yelled out from a distance, say, "Saul, wake up. Your security's not very good." He says, "Look what I got." And he says, "This should be proof to you for the second time. I value you as being the anointed of the Lord's, and I don't want your life. Why do you want to take mine?" And when Saul did finally die in battle, in the last chapter of 1 Samuel, we are told that he fell on his own sword, rather than to allow the Philistines to claim that they did it. 1 Samuel 31, verse 5 and 6. And when his armor bearer saw, well, better read 4. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, "Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through." But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And then when we go to the 2 Samuel, the first chapter, a messenger appears to David with Saul's crown and tells David the story of how he killed Saul. And thinking that Saul, being David's nemesis or enemy, that David would be happy that he had killed him. And does anybody remember how that turns out? David wasn't happy at all. David required the man's life for making this claim, so it appears as though the man didn't kill Saul at all, but he claimed that he did. And for that very fact, David said, "You did not." In the first chapter, David said to the young man that told him, "Whence art thou?" And he answered, "I am the son of a stranger and a Amalekite." And David said unto him, "How was it that thou was not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" And David had one of his other men give that man the death penalty for his lack of reverence to who the Lord had picked to be a leader. And so all through David's mistakes he made in his life, he revered the Lord and repented when he did make those mistakes. You and I are no different than David. We've had times where we've been embarrassments to our Lord and to ourselves. We're starting a new year. Analyze your life. Think about the kind of mark you're leaving. As we bring this lesson to a close, we offer you a chance as we sing this invitation song. If you'd like to change the mark you're leaving, come forward and let us help you. be right with God. So we stand and sing.